Golf Smarter number 412, published on November 26, 2013, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Golf meets snowboarding and surfing with Golf Board CEO Paul Hodge.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Paul.
Hey, thanks, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I am totally fascinated by a product that you are trying to introduce into the golf world called Golf Board. And I want to start with your explanation of what it is.
So the Golf Board is a personal transport device. It's a four-wheel drive, lithium battery-powered electric skateboard, basically, that can transport golfers around the golf course with the sort of the sensation of surfing or snowboarding.
Why? I mean, that seems to be the next question. Why would a golfer want to do that? Or why do you think a golfer wants to do that?
Well, I can tell you it adds a whole new dynamic to the game. It's really a lot of fun to begin with.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Stop right there. Who wants to add fun into golf? Who thinks?
Well, I think if you want to get the younger generations golfing, which has been sort of the problem in the golf industry, being that, you know, the only 5% of the golfers out there under 30, it might not hurt to try and add a little bit of fun to the game. Mm-hmm. And a board sport type activity, which has been the fastest growing, you know, type of sports in the world over the past 10 years, is certainly a perfect fit. So, you know, if you really want to attract the younger generations and you know, see the golf game, the industry boom again, this is the perfect way to do it.
Well, I do have to admit, it is fun. I did get to try it already. I came out and visited with you guys, and I fell off within moments, but that was it. Only after those for a few moments, I felt fairly rock solid.
You know, yeah, kind of unlike snowboarding where, you know, you have
which
to,
I do not do.
You do not do, right?
Nope.
And it was clear. Just kidding, Chris.
All right, that's enough from you. Goodbye.
yeah, unlike snowboarding where, you know, you have to kind of go up and at least five times and get lessons and before you can even start making turns. The learning curve on the golf board is approximately about 5 minutes is what I tell people. So yeah. The first 5 minutes, you know, it's just kind of getting a feeling for it and really just kind of understanding the throttle, the acceleration and deceleration braking aspects of the board. But once you get that, it's pretty solid. And that's not by accident. We've spent a lot of time, money, engineering the board to be very user-friendly and easy to ride. There's a particularly there's a bi-directional dampening system on the board, which makes it very, very stable to stand on and easy to turn. And you know, unlike the old skateboards that would kind of have that wobbly feel, This completely eliminates all that. It also has suspension, and there's a lot of engineering that's gone this thing to make it what it is.
What is your role in the process and the product?
Well, I'm the president, co-founder, of the company. So I pretty much wear all the hats, take out the garbage, and everything else along with that, you know, sales, marketing, launching the product, managing the engineering, manufacturing, the whole kit and caboodle.
And how did the idea arrive?
So originally, one of our founder partners, Star, and his friend Blaze, they were the first guys years ago to mount high-powered motors onto a mountain board. A mountain board's a cross-training, non-power device that snowboarders use in the summer to train on. And they're electric vehicle enthusiasts. They mounted electric motors to these wheels with a handheld remote. And these original boards were scary, by the way. They had tons of power, but very little control. You know, they were certainly not the consumer friendly versions, but it was a lot more fun, right? Oh, it was fun. Yeah. We've got one version of the board that goes 55 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh. And that's the one you have to wear a helmet on.
Yeah. It's highly recommended. Actually, the only guy that rides that's Laird Hamilton, our other partner. So they were the first guys to, you know, sort of make this invention happen. And then Star hooked up with Laird Hamilton over in Kauai. They're both surfers, and they surf the same spots, eat the same restaurants.
Star is one of the partners?
Yeah, Star is one of the partners.
Okay.
So he was riding around in Kauai, and Laird Hamilton saw him on the board, and he was like, whoa, what the heck's this? And, you know, got involved and got very excited about it. They quickly built a couple boards for Laird. And then Laird introduced Star to his friend Don Wildman. And Don Wildman actually had been using some of these low-cost Chinese-made sort of skateboards on the golf course.
Oh.
And so these original boards, they couldn't climb any hills. You know, they're one-wheel drives, so they tear up the turf, and they're really kind of terrible to have out there. But he was still trying to make it work. Like, he'd actually have to lug it up the hill, you know, with his golf clubs. And when he saw this board that had loads of power and all, you know, four-wheel drive and everything, you know, it got Don excited about the whole concept. And Don was the first one that said, hey, we need to make a business out of this and sell them to golf courses. This could be huge and potentially change the sport. So he's kind of the visionary on that aspect of it. And throughout the whole time, Star has been a family friend. So I was kind of following the whole thing. And then about a year and a half ago, timing was right where we had time and we're ready to take on the project. And we decided to go ahead and pull the trigger and, you know, make a full blown business out of this. So we quickly moved to, you know, start engineering, you know, a board that would be consumer friendly, reliable, and, you know, start down that road.
Well, the first time I heard about you guys was you were doing some crowdsourcing for funding.
Right.
Was that so that you could get this thing going, or was it just a way of getting the word out that it exists?
Well, it was a little of both, to be honest with you. My cousin was one of the first employees at Kickstarter, and so she, you know, she was sort of our in to, you know, I've been kind of following Kickstarter because of that. And, you know, we thought we'd give it a try. You know, there's really two reasons we went down the road with Kickstarter. One is we did need some cash, a very expensive process on the engineering side, but also going from engineering to mass manufacturing, very involved, expensive process. Certainly costs a lot more than what we did on Kickstarter. But
and probably a lot more than you anticipated.
Yeah, probably. It's one of those things. Certainly took a little bit longer and a little more expensive than we all kind of thought. It's, believe it or not, it's a pretty complex project. It's like building a mini Tesla with a wireless Bluetooth remote. I mean, there's so many little things that you wouldn't think about that goes in this product. It's pretty complicated. But anyway, we did go down with Kickstarter, but I think the biggest advantage with using Kickstarter was really the free marketing publicity that came from it. We didn't really expect that we would get such huge international exposure from Kickstarter, but we did. I would say within, you know, immediately after the Kickstarter campaign launched, you know, the media all over the world picked us up, and we had the phones are just ringing off the hook. I mean, hundreds of emails a day from golf courses and golf reps and golf industry people of all sorts. So it was sort of a proof of concept for us as well. I mean, we knew it was fun to be out there in the golf courses with these. And every time we went out, we'd get mobbed by people on the golf course wanting to try it and wanting to know where they could buy one. But to really kind of, you know, see the industry response after we did the Kickstarter campaign was really what proved to us that, you know, we're on the right track and wanted to continue to push forward.
Well, it's one thing to come up with a great idea, and when you sit down with people and you explain to them, and they're like, wow, that is a great idea. You have found the replacement for sliced bread type of idea. And then you say, yeah, would you like to fund it? And then all of a sudden, you really find out what a great idea it is or it isn't. Did you have to do any other funding? Well, obviously you've had to, and beyond the initial seed money from that first guy, have you been, how successful has that been and where's it coming from? The inside or outside the industry is what I'm trying to figure.
All the funding has actually come from the founders outside the Kickstarter money, so far. So, Don Wildman, contributed, some capital. He's obviously a very successful guy. He was the founder of, really invented the fitness club, back in the 50s and 60s, and built his empire into Bally's Fitness, and had sold in 83 for a sizable sum. Then we've got, we basically all had to dig deep, I guess, equally and come up with the capital needed to get to where we are now, which is moving down the road towards mass production. And we're producing product now. We'll be putting out about 1,000 boards per month starting in January for all of next year.
2014.
And, 2014. We do have some product coming off the production line now. We've got a big delivery in 2 weeks that will take care of all the Kickstarter people, as well as all the people that have put in pre-orders over the past couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're well on our way, and it's been a long, expensive, and interesting process, but we're all committed and very excited about where we're at.
Well, the fact that we got to meet, and I met a couple of the guys, you're all pretty young. So when you say dig deep into your pockets, my sense is that Don didn't have to dig as deep as you guys did.
Yeah, that's true. You probably didn't have to dig quite as deep as the rest of us. But
you guys were digging so deep, you poked holes in your pockets.
Yep. I'm looking to mortgage properties and do whatever we need to do to keep it going if possible.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, we're making it happen. And we're well on our way.
So you're saying the first, tell me how the funding worked with and the response beyond the press on the Kickstarter project. How many people participated? What kind of money did they put in? This fascinates me, developing a business like this.
Yeah, I've done a number of startups in the past, actually.
Oh, okay. Or a serial entrepreneur, huh?
Yeah, I've been a serial entrepreneur. I've been self-employed ever since I was 18 with my first computer business. So I've been through this process many, many times, but this is the first time I've ever used Kickstarter. And Kickstarter was pretty interesting. It's a crowdfunding routine, but for the most part, we're really pre-selling the product.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than, taking a small deposit, people in essence pay for the product 100% up front, with, no guarantees really that they're ever going to get a product. So it's kind of like the leap of faith for people that are putting money in the Kickstarter. But it's a great community, and I think the community generally, when they see an idea that they like, the Kickstarter community, wants to be able to help people out, and it's really a powerful tool. And we're also active participants of Kickstarter now personally. A lot of the founders, when I see projects and people trying to do something that I think is pretty cool, we'll certainly either pre-purchase the product or sometimes even donate money just to help them out. So we've all been there. We know what it's like starting a new business, and when somebody has a great idea, you just
run with it. Yeah,
trying to help and support. So there's sure. 4 million users. Yeah, 4 million users that kind of feel the same way. And so we raised $105,000, I believe it was.
And what was your goal?
Our goal was 100,000, so we just made it.
and how much time did you do that?
2 weeks.
Wow, yep. That's incredible! Congratulations.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's definitely
pretty
cool. Oh my
gosh! And what were the levels of contribution that you were getting? And is it mostly because people are like, "I want one, so I'll I think this is cool, but I want one, so I'll pay this amount."
Yeah, that's mostly what was happening. So the majority of the money. I'd say, you know, 90% of it came from people that wanted, you know, paid a slightly discounted price, $3,350 for a golf board. And they were promised to get the first boards off the production line. So as we're producing product now, the shipments will be going to the Kickstarter purchasers first. So they're that was the majority of the donations. Then the rest of it.
So, well, I'm gonna stop you a second here. $3,350,
right,
is the majority of what people put into this.
Right. Right.
Wow.
So, you know, pretty big price tag. It's a
and with you know, with no guarantee that they're gonna get anything.
Right. That's right.
and if you guys like, you know what, we didn't raise our money, then they don't have to contribute? Or, yeah, we raised our money, but we're just not going to be able to get to market. Could those people be out that money? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, if we can't deliver the product, you know, that they had pledged for, then I believe the rules say that we need to do our best to pay them back. So we would need to, you know, refund the money. But you know, I think we put a pretty strong case. We put kind of the whole sort of plan on Kickstarter so that people could see who was involved and at what stage we're at. So, you know, that they could see that the risk was fairly, you know, manageable to at least get, you know, some product produced where we were, you know, because we at that point in time, we had the product completely done and engineered. We were really just moving to mass manufacturing. Because it's prohibitively expensive to manufacture these things in small batches. In fact, they can cost as much as $20,000 to $30,000 per board to manufacture small numbers.
Hmm.
The hard tooling and mass manufacturing process, we had to invest big dollars into, you know, die casting tools and injection mold tools and all sorts of different molds and. That's what drove the cost down to where we can sell it to where we are, you know, to sell it at a reasonable price. So we had it all engineered. We just needed to basically invest into the mass production tooling. So, you know, and we made that clear. So they could see that, yeah, it's a big investment, but, you know, the risks of development engineering are pretty much behind us. Now it's just, you know, moving to mass manufacturing.
Hmm. Wow.
That, yeah. And the rest of the pledges came from people just either simply donating the money or purchasing t-shirts and hats and things like that, you know, so, you know, smaller ticket items.
What's the largest donation you receive via Kickstarter?
The largest donation we received was $10,000. And so that was for, a board. Plus a trip to Malibu to actually ride to have the board delivered by Laird Hamilton and Don Wildman and then be able to actually golf a full round with Laird Hamilton and Don Wildman on the board. So it's like the full Malibu package. And, you know, a lot of Laird Hamilton fans were probably looking at it and people that want to meet him and, you know, be able to surf with the master. Surf the earth with the master, you know, they were willing to contribute. So we actually had two people that did that.
Really? And it's like as many as you said, as many people are willing to contribute that will make it work.
Right, right.
Wow. That's amazing. Listen, I need to take a break here for our sponsor because this episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. Audible wants to give the Golf Smarter community a chance to check out their service for free. All you have to do is sign up and your first audiobook from their huge library is absolutely free. And then you can check it out, fall in love with it, and keep it going for the year. Or not. You know, you can cancel if you need to. But I'd like to ask you, Paul, do you ever listen to audiobooks?
Yeah, I do. I do listen to audiobooks whenever I can, long trips and road trips and, yep.
And riding your board.
Riding the board. Yep. Usually I'm listening to heavy metal music, but to be honest with you, some good old classic rock and roll, but yeah, maybe an occasional audiobook won't hurt.
And can you make a recommendation of an audiobook that we may want to check out?
Sure, yeah. Recently I'd read Hot, Flat, and Crowded. It's actually a little bit older book, written 2008 by Thomas Friedman.
From the New York Times. Yeah.
Talks about why we need a green revolution and how it can renew America. I had a previous business that was in the renewable energy field, and so I found it fascinating.
Well, it's a great recommendation. He's such a phenomenal writer, and I've always found Thomas Friedman to be able to state stuff in a way that you go, right, how did you get A to Z with just B? It's amazing how he puts things together and makes it so succinct and clear. So it's a great recommendation. Hot, Flat, and Crowded, Why We Need a Green Revolution and How It Can Renew America by Thomas Friedman. It's 21 hours long, so it's a great book to start your campaign with. And it's free if you want to. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Audible is AUDIBLE, audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Excellent. Thank you so much for the recommendation.
Oh, you bet.
So what is the, since you've done this before, I guess you're kind of comfortable putting up business plans and speculating and projecting what kind of sales you can do, but it's all made up numbers though, right?
It's all made up numbers. You know, the best we can do at this point in time is, just kind of forecast by, looking at the sort of response that we've had, how many golf courses have reached out, what we expect our closing rate to be, how many boards we anticipate, each course taking, and then just trying to do our best to forecast, but it's just a guess at this point in time.
So is your distribution model mostly to do fleets to golf courses, or are you going to try to sell them to pro shops and sell them individually? What is the main focus of your distribution?
Well, there's a couple distribution channels we're running down. One is direct sales to golf courses. So we're currently building a national sales rep network of qualified sales reps. And we're interviewing and going through the building process right now, and these will be geographically, protected territories with sales reps that are experienced in the golf industry, typically already calling on golf shops, maybe selling golf clubs or other merchandise that have the relationships with the golf courses, and they'll be doing direct fleet sales to the golf courses. They'll also be let me point out, when we don't expect that golf courses will buy the majority of the time the boards. We actually have leasing programs where we'll lease the boards to the golf courses. So we've got a 6-month demo lease where a golf course that's interested but a little bit unsure still can actually try the boards out for 6 months with a little bit higher priced lease. And then we have a standard 5-year lease, which lowers the price of the lease, which allows them to, have the boards without, putting any capital down. And that's the majority of the golf course we've talked with or have interest in and in going down that path. So that's our primary distribution channel. The second thing that we're doing, a little bit unique, is we're actually offering boards to the golf pros. And so there's 15,000 registered golf pros in the U.S. And these are guys that are, working with the consumers, teaching them how to golf and perfecting their game. So we're offering a program where we can sell a discounted golf board to the golf pro, and the golf pro can actually, be seen riding on these. And he has a special code, which he can give to people that he's working with who are interested in the board that he turns on to it, who can go on our website and purchase the board directly from a website using a discount code. And he'll get credited back, a commission on that sale. So in essence, he can pay for his own golf board, make a little bit of additional income while he's out there giving lessons by promoting the golf board to consumers. Because unlike a golf cart, you can take the golf board, throw it in your trunk with your golf clubs and head over to the golf course.
So, yeah, let's talk about that too.
Sure.
If you're not, I don't think you're done though on your distribution channels.
Oh, well, yeah. One more is, of course, international distribution. So we've had at least 40 or 50 international distributors reach out from all countries, you know, around the world wanting to distribute the product. So we're, you know, these are guys that will be bringing in freight containers and then doing, in essence, the same thing in their own countries, the sales rep networks and their own consumer sales models. So that's our primary methods.
Well, I know of one Golf Smarter listener in the Far East who does golf product distribution. So here's your opportunity. Make your pitch right now. What do you want in a sales rep? And ask. Go ahead and make the invitation right there.
Well, for and as far as sales reps go, you're talking sales reps or distribution, international distribution?
Both.
Okay. Well, for a sales rep, we're looking for qualified sales reps that have been in the golf industry. Maybe you carry a couple other golf product lines you're selling to golf courses, and you know, you could add the golf board as a new exciting product. You know, unlike golf clubs, you don't have any competition. It's the only product in the market right now, and it's exciting. It's a new product that can hopefully change the face of golf, and I mean that seriously, by bringing in, you know, the younger crowds and expanding the industry.
Where are you having them manufactured?
So we're manufacturing on the East Coast.
In the US.
All the parts. Great. Yeah, let me point out, all the parts on these boards are custom made, and they're all made in the US. We're not buying parts overseas. It's everything is domestically homegrown, with exception, I'll say, of the lithium battery cells that are made in Korea. But all the other components of the board are all built from scratch right in the United States.
Very cool. I feel like I should be standing up, put my hand in my heart when you say that. That's
pledge allegiance.
Yeah, right. I'll just sing la 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 while you're doing your pitch there. One of the things that I found so interesting about it was, and I didn't get to ride it that long, but I did a couple rides with it, and it was great. I had a lot of fun. I've ridden a Segway on a golf course before. I think Arizona, Kierland in Arizona, I think is the only course in the country that offers Segways. And it was kind of cool, but dorky. You know, I mean, it was like, hey, I'm riding the Segway. And it gets fun, but I don't know. There was something geeky about it. But riding the golf board, I felt cool. I thought, this is cool. I want to share this. But I had a big surprise that I didn't anticipate beyond the fun part of it. And that was, after I was done, it felt like I wasn't carrying my bag. I was riding the one that has the stand that holds the bag for you.
Right.
I felt like I had done some core exercise.
Oh, there's no doubt the board gives you a core workout. And that's one of our advantages. That the Segways are very cool, but the Segways do all the work for you.
Right.
You know, there's a gyro, and they take all the work out of it. The board, just like any other board sport, snowboarding or surfing, provides a serious core workout. And so, yeah, oftentimes I take golfers out in their first 18 holes, and at the end of it, they're feeling it. Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
It takes them a number of outings before their core starts to strengthen, and they can ride, you know, effortlessly, you know, 18 holes. And, but there's no doubt it gives you a workout, and, just about everybody has had the same experience that you've had by the time, you know, they've ridden it for a while. You can feel your legs, you can feel your core, and you know you've been doing something.
Yeah. And people say, yo, golf's not exercise. Oh, it is if you're riding a golf board.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it certainly is. And, you know, that's the whole thing with a golf cart that is kind of counterintuitive. You're sitting on your butt, and you're driving, you know, getting bounced around. And for me, when I'm riding in the golf cart in between shots, like, my whole body starts to stiffen up. And, you know, when I get up, it's like, oh, I kind of step out of the cart, and, you know, lower back's feeling it.
Yep.
On the golf board, you're staying constantly engaged. So it actually helps my golf, because I'm kind of keeping that warm up, and I'm not stopping, and, you know, my body's not freezing up when I'm sitting in the cart. It's keeping you engaged the entire time.
Hmm. It's an excellent observation. I prefer not to be in golf carts. I'll occasionally do it, but I prefer not to because getting in and out, you're right. Sitting is such a terrible thing for your back. So between golf and sitting, it really hurts my back. But also I find that if I'm riding at a golf course, especially a course I've never played before, I forget the golf course. I don't absorb the beauty. It's like you hit the ball, you get in the cart, you go to your ball, you hit the ball, get in the cart, you go to your ball. You know, it's like you lose everything else. But when you're on the golf board, you know, you're part of the terrain. I mean, you're going up and down the hills and slopes and around and things. And so you're really, you know, it's not in that same sense like walking, of being able to absorb everything that's going on in the course. You really get that sense as well. And then you're having all this fun.
Right. No, that's a good point. It's you really get intimate with the golf course while on the golf board. You know, every little bump, every little knoll, every little elevation change, you really feel it. You're surfing it, and there's no better way to really experience the golf course. You know, these golf courses are kind of like huge train parks, really. You know, the golf board really enables you, like being on a surf wave or something, to be really being able to get intimate with that terrain.
All right, now quickly give me a description about schlepping it around with you from golf course to golf course. How much does it weigh? Is it bulky? Do you have to put it together every single time? What's the deal there?
No, you leave it assembled. It weighs about 70 pounds, so it certainly has some weight to it. Luckily it has wheels on one end, so you can just grab one end of it and roll it. So it's kind of like a carrier, if you want to say. It's sizable, but it's a heck of a lot easier moving from course to course with this in the golf cart, I can tell you that.
And what is the price point going to be when it's available to the public?
So the retail price is $35.95, and it's available now, actually. We have some product that can ship in just a few weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and it can be purchased right on our website at golfboard.com. But what I'd like to do is extend a special offer, a free shipping offer for Golf Smarter listeners. So the shipping can be very expensive depending on where you live, as much, you know, $100 to $200. There's a code that your listeners will want to use, and we'll just make it simple: Golf Smarter, all one word, and the discount box, and that will give U.S. Residents free shipping, and that will give international residents $200 off, and that includes the removable bag stand handlebar mount. So we haven't talked about that, but there's two ways to ride the board. You could ride it with this bag holder, holds your golf bag and all your, you know, your drinks and all that sort of stuff. But it also gives you a stability handle, a bar to hold on to if you absolutely have no balance, or just while you're getting used to the board, you can put this handle on and use that.
Yeah, and that's what I used, and it definitely was a good sense of security once you were starting out.
Right.
Learning how to, remembering to keep my knees loose, because when you tighten up your knees, it's not a good thing. You want to, you know, let your lower body be kind of flexible on this.
Right. Yeah. Most people, when they start out, they look kind of stiff. You know, they're just not sure what to expect. And then my experience is within about 5 minutes, so usually a few holes, they loosen up. And once you really loosen up and relax is where the magic really starts to happen. But, you know, most people will quickly want to actually get rid of the stand-up bar. Without the bar, you know, just riding the board without it, it really is a really cool feeling and sensation. And it's really not as hard as you might think. Usually people may ride with the bar for 5 or 10 minutes and then take it off literally that soon.
Yeah. And, I don't like to carry my bag because, like I said about the back issues, my lower back. So I don't like carrying the bag. So I would want that stand anyway.
Sure. Yeah. And some people will always prefer to have the stand just because they don't like to have bags in their back and want to be able to hold the bag. So you have it either way. You know, it comes with the bag stand, and it comes on and off in just a matter of probably less than a minute. So very easy to take on and off.
Awesome. You guys thought of it all. So listen, if you're in the Golf Smarter community and this fascinates you, definitely go to golfsmarter.com because I'm going to put some video up on our site that Paul has. And you can see for yourself how cool it is. I'll even throw a video of me in slow motion coming down a hill and not falling off.
You did great that day.
That was so much fun. That was so much fun. And so here's what I'd like to do. Mike, who I've been talking with, now, what is Mike's role in the company?
So Mike is our technical director. So he has been managing, the engineering aspects of the board. Not doing the engineering necessarily himself, but we have professional engineers that we hire that he manages and works with and communicates, all of our desires and wants and needs into the board, design changes to the engineers.
Perfect. Well, I'm totally geeking out here because on the first part, I wanted to hear about the whole business and how you're going to do it. And now I want to hear about the technical part. So why don't, for part two of this conversation for members only, Mike's going to come on and we're going to talk about the technical aspects of the golf board and how we got it to work and what it does and the battery and the remote and the wireless and all and wired, however it is. That'll be part two of this conversation for members only. So please join Golf Smarter for members only so you never miss an episode and you get to hear many of the conversations go into part two. So there. Paul, thank you very much for the generous offer and also for coming and sharing this with me and inviting me out to write it. I wish you all the luck in the world. I think this is a fascinating idea. You are targeting for a younger audience, which is really what golf needs, but at the price point, it's going to be fascinating, beyond the Silicon Valley people who, started working at Twitter. After the Twitter IPO, there were 1,400 new millionaires that week in the San Francisco area. So the price point's going to be interesting because the older guys who play golf may be terrified of this. But they can afford it. So let me assure them right now, if they're listening, it's not that scary and it is a lot of fun and a workout. It's going to change your golf game and definitely give you something to talk about at the 19th hole. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Fred. It was fun and you've got a great show. Let us know if you have any other questions.
Yeah, simple one. Can I have one? Okay, never mind. Well, now that we've heard about the business of this unique golf startup, next up I'll have a conversation with Mike Radenbaugh, who's in charge of the technical side of Golf Board and how he got this thing to work. Frankly, I was really shocked that Paul offered this great deal. I mean, this is a startup. They're not making much money, right? The prices will definitely go up as demand goes up, but no shipping charge to anywhere in the continental U.S. And if you order anywhere else in the world, they're going to take $200 off the shipping. I know it's an expensive item, but it's a fun toy. That's what we're looking for, right? So with the shopping holidays in full swing, please think about it. Put the golf board on the top of your wish list. It's a wish list. It may not get fulfilled, but it's going to be there. Hey, Lou, are you listening? I know that you are. As a skilled stand-up paddle boarder, I know that you're going to love to show the golf board off at your club. It's a great core workout. It's a ton of fun. So listen, if you're an early adopter or want to add some spice into your local golf, you've seriously got to take a look at the golf board. I'll put their video on the blog at golfsmarter.com. Remember, use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER, one word, to take advantage of this special offer. No one's going to make any claims that your game will get better with the golf board, but I do promise you're going to have a lot of fun. Have a happy Thanksgiving and a happy Hanukkah. I'm headed to Hawaii and, or should I say Thanksgivica? I'm headed off to Hawaii and hopefully we'll bring back another interesting golf story from the island of Kauai. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button on the free Golf Smarter app for Apple or Android or at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.